Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Shannon.
And we are Push Push, the girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing.
Listen and subscribe to the podcast across all major streaming platforms, including full shows on YouTube.
Welcome back to Push Push. I'm Danielle Davis.
I'm Shannon Kessler.
We are your girlfriend's guide to Formula One racing. Race, 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 race.
We had a fight in Singapore.
I'm surprised that's what you're opening with.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Because, well, guys, this, so many mixed emotions.
I'm just
going
to let you go ahead and talk about it.
So many mixed emotions because Singapore under the lights is one of my favorite.
Oh,
races.
I forgot about that. This wow. Okay, and so if you are new here, you may not know that Shannon is one true love in Formula One is one Daniel Ricciardo. And so
Joseph Ricciardo. And it's gonna be a wild ride today, and it's gonna be full of highs, full of lows, lots of emotions. It's gonna be running through these veins like the McLaren ran through that track. I mean, it's just going to be a minute to get through this for me today, because I have thoughts, I have opinions, and I have a voice, and I'm gonna use all three.
I cannot believe you didn't say I have feelings, because I know you are gonna be full of feelings.
Yeah, I said I have thoughts, I have feelings, I have a voice.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm gonna be running around.
Yeah. I didn't hear the feelings part.
No, you're good. Yeah. So my favorite track is now tainted, because it could be the last time we see Daniel Ricciardo in an F1 car. So.
Well, I'm sorry about that for you and all of the Daniel Ricciardo fans out there.
You know, if it wasn't for Daniel Ricciardo, it wouldn't have been such like a hook, line, and sinker in Drive to Survive, because he's the first face you see in that opening credit. And you're like, oh, okay. And then he starts talking in that cute little Australian accent, and he giggles and he laughs. And I'm like, oh, okay, Daniel Ricciardo. And I know for you, you feel completely opposite.
Yeah, I didn't chime in there because that wasn't. And honestly, I think the reason why I started, I don't know if I would have been captivated. You know, I'm no secret that I'm not a huge Daniel Ricciardo fan. And when I first was exposed to the Drive to Survive show, he was not on camera. I was like, my husband was watching. He was, you know, 7 or 8 episodes, maybe 2 seasons in. I have no idea. And I was just picking it up out of the corner of my eye.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we had a different experience there. And also, you know, with love, I think it's time for Daniel to move along.
I'm not going to disagree with you that the lack of performance this season has been apparent.
And last season.
Last season, he did fine. Okay.
And maybe
fine
the season before that.
In a capital F is fine. Okay. He won Monza at McLaren. It's not like the kid didn't do shit when he was
that
2 years
ago.
That
was like 3 years ago.
It was 2 seasons, but whatever. You know, I get it. But do we want to just dive right into this now, or do
yeah,
we want to?
Yeah, no, we can talk about the race if you want.
It's fine. I came prepared with some notes for Daniel Ricciardo, and we can do that in another segment if we need to. If we need to open with this race, we can open with the race.
We can open with whatever you want. I'm pretty sure we get to do whatever we want in this
also true.
Hour
also true.
Of time
we do.
Where okay, we well. Just record ourselves. But we can start with the race.
Okay. Yeah, let's start with the race and then we'll circle back.
Why don't you take us a little bit more through qualies? I watched qualies, but I'm going to go ahead and say that I had to fast forward a lot through it because I worked a music festival this past weekend and I'm a little dead on the inside.
Yeah, right? You did. And guys, she didn't just work the music festival. She was the PR behind this machine that is called Bourbon and Beyond that takes over our Kentucky Expo Center, State Fairgrounds. I don't know what it's called anymore.
Festival Grounds.
Thank you. I'm like, I feel like it has like an appropriate name. And I know the PR woman behind this is like, Shannon,
Zach Bryan, Tyler Childers, Dave Matthews Band, Sting. Those were just the headliners. Yeah, over 200 artists. Anyways, so I was I was boots on the ground from sunup to sundown. So I watched the full race, but I did have to breeze through qualifying. So I'm gonna let Shannon, you know, take the lead on all things qualifying.
Well, qualifying was interesting. We did get some. I don't know. I mean, I honestly wasn't quite sure what we were going to get in qualies, given that the days leading up to it, like, it looked like there was some monsooning happening in Singapore. And I was like, oh, God.
I know. I told you.
Yeah.
I told you on the last episode.
You sure did. Meteorologist Danielle came out and said, guys, we're in trouble for Singapore.
Yeah.
We're going to be getting some rain. I was like, it doesn't rain in Singapore. What are you talking about?
I know. And I was like, watch out.
It's coming. And it did. I mean, I was watching videos and footage, and I was like, that is some scary looking rain too, like big thick clouds of it. So qualies, let's see. No surprise of who doesn't get in to Q2. You know, the usual suspects are climbing up. But we did get in Q3. We did get Lando on pole. And once again, we were concerned, is Lando going to be able to convert pole into a race win?
We also had a weird end of qualifying.
Yes, we did. Because it ended under a safety car.
Right, which, you know, kind of screwed over my boys in red.
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I just thought I should add that in, because I didn't watch a lot of it, but I do know that, you know, the Ferraris got a little...
Ferraris did kind of get dicked over on this, because based on their qualifying time, because Leclerc got his lap time deleted.
Yeah.
Sainz had a crash and wasn't able to repair the car to get into Q3. So he had to use his Q2 lap time, which I believe put him in. Did they start 7th and 8th, or was it 9 and 10?
I thought that they started 7th and 8th, but I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head, but.
Yeah. So we just know that the Ferraris weren't sitting pretty going into Sunday, which was kind of a shock.
At that point, I said, you know, good riddance, Singapore. Good riddance.
Get out of here.
Because I'm going to take a hot take. I don't particularly like night races.
And I get that. I do. And for me, I loved watching Singapore on Drive to Survive, because it was like the glitz and glamour of a night race, where you're just like, oh, wow, this is something we don't typically see, you know, in the sport. And it's a street circuit. So a street circuit at night, you're also like, wow, there's a lot going on in this race,
which
I love. And it's also like the hottest and most humid conditions that the drivers drive during the season. So, I mean, there really is
a
lot
going
on
into it. Yeah. Yes.
I think mentally, this is one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging race that they have.
Physically.
Yeah, physically. Exactly. So there's a lot of components going on with these drivers.
And a lot that goes into the tire management, obviously, because it's so hot.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that I don't think that Singapore is a cool track. I'm all about it. I just don't think I particularly enjoy the experience of watching a night race. I don't know what it is about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the old lady in me that's like, I don't know. I think what feels like is lacking for me on a night race is that connection to the fans. And I think it happens on street races too. So I feel like this is a double whammy of that, mm-hmm. is that it doesn't feel as like connected to the people in the grandstands, and with it being nighttime and on the street, I don't know. I don't know if that's what it is. There's something about it with my brain that doesn't like
connect.
Glom onto this.
I get it. I totally get that.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I, it's fine. It's just like when I'm watching the race, I don't get as excited about it.
Okay.
That's all I had to say about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me air those feelings out.
You're welcome. Do you feel that way about all night races? Like,
yeah,
do you feel that way about Vegas?
I didn't like Vegas either. And I think Vegas is very similar to Singapore. Mm-hmm. From like a very high level perspective.
Yeah.
From that like glitz and glamour street race night.
Yeah.
I also did not love Vegas.
Cause
and I, Yeah, like I just don't.
The Abu Dhabi and Jeddah, those are...
I don't mind Abu Dhabi as much, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But maybe because it's not a street race. Maybe because it's a track.
Yeah, it's a circuit, yeah.
I think that this race is very similar to Vegas in terms of like a high level perspective, and I don't connect very much with the Vegas race. And I think the Vegas race had some things to work out too, but
sure. Yeah,
I think that experiencing this race would be super cool. Mm-hmm. I just, same with Vegas. I think going to any race would be really cool. I just, from a viewer perspective, it doesn't appeal to me in the way that some of the other tracks do.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you also having thoughts, feelings, and opinions today. Thank you, Danielle.
Someone else who had thoughts, feelings, and opinions that the FIA did not want to hear was Sir Max Verstappen.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So we get, let's just wrap up qualies. We get Lando on pole. We get Max on second. And then we get Sir Lewis Hamilton, right, in third in qualies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he had a great quali.
He likes a night race, I feel like.
He does like a night race. You know, he's done really well. I think he's only ever qualified in top five at Singapore. Like, he's never had anything lower than a fifth place quali. That's fantastic. I love that for him.
Another fun fact about Singapore is that Max Verstappen has never won there.
That is exciting.
It's just wild to me.
Same. No, that can't be, because in 22 he won.
Maybe it's he's never finished on pole, but because he
went undefeated his second championship, I'm pretty sure.
Let's look.
I could be wrong on that too.
I'm gonna look it up.
All right, we need a fact checker on this show.
Yeah, we do.
We talking a lot of things that we're like, I think that's right. I don't know.
Yeah, we do.
But that's
no. Lando this year, Carlos last year, Sergio Perez, Sebastian Vettel.
Okay.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Thank you.
You were right.
I was right.
Okay.
Yeah, because I heard it multiple times on the broadcast.
Oh, well, well done. Well
done. Thank you. Yeah.
For remembering that. That's good.
Yeah. So they didn't race in 2021, and then it's been Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, and Lando Norris. Before that, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton two times in a row, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian, Lewis, Sebastian, oh. Sebastian, Sebastian.
Gotcha. I think maybe I'm like, because you know how the end of Singapore on the Grand Marina Hotel, like they put like that super amazing like projection of all the winners. And yeah. I swear I thought I saw, maybe I'm just looking at Red Bull thinking that Sebastian was Max, but I remember seeing like the Red Bull thing and I was like, it may have been Sergio,
but they may have just put him up there. They sometimes just put random as.
Like, yeah. But it looked like it was like all the winners from past Singapore. And I thought I saw Max. So I'm sorry. I got that wrong. You got that right. There you go.
Thank
Danielle.
You.
You're welcome. Okay. So the start of this race, we have Lando on pole. And once again, I was like, is he going to do it?
I was wrong. I bet against him. Did and you? He did it.
And
yes.
He did it. Honestly, this was the best jump on a start that I have seen Lando have in his career. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because Max didn't have a great one or if Lando just had an exceptional one.
I thought with Max in second place, they can exist at the same time. I thought with Max in second place, there wasn't a chance in hell that Lando would lead after the first lap. And I ate my words and, you know, lost my money. So
yeah,
props to you, LN4.
Look at that.
I'm wearing my shirt right now. Thanks.
Also DR3 from the McLaren days, but we'll get to that later. So the first turn from this was pretty interesting because, you know, we get a Lando great start. We get some aggressive off the take jumps from Oscar Piastri, who, you know, just
he's coming
every
for
race
him.
Is every coming time. For him. And it's like, I am not leaving quietly. I am going to be the thorn in your side for the rest of the season. I'm the little brother who wants to be better than the big brother. Like, he's coming. Oscar is coming.
He's exceptional.
Gloves are on, ready to fight. So he had a great start. But the one to me that I was like, what just happened? Colapinto.
He does not care.
He does not care.
He will dive bomb that car into a crowd.
Into a crowd. Albon completely taken off guard, being like,
what is happening here?
What is he doing? And honestly, I'm like this. I'm watching. I'm like, oh, did I see that? What did he just do? Like, I mean, it was a wild ride.
Full dive bomb. He will just take, he doesn't care.
Doesn't care. And giggled about it. And I was like, did he just giggle on the radio about his dive bomb?
Which it feels like he should maybe be a little bit. I appreciate the aggressiveness, and I think he's going to be an except. Like, he's already making a name for himself.
Yes.
But the Williams does not have a ton of money, my friend. So we cannot be risking getting into an accident and having the car taken out. We got to keep the dollars close to the vest. And I mean, the car was fine. So, you know, I'm wrong. He's right. But we can't be making those risks. We need to keep as much money in the pocket.
Yeah.
Not in like the spending for new parts.
Agreed. And I'm pretty sure they had to have a little sit down of like, listen, you're not in trouble, but you need to know we're not going to,
we got to tighten it up.
Yeah. We don't have the flexibility and the, you know, I don't know.
We don't have all the spare parts.
Yes. Like we ain't got it at Liberty.
We do not have them.
So although great driving, glad there wasn't an accident, but don't be doing that. James can't be taking that. Like,
no,
you know, he don't need that kind of stress in his life. So
they're just like, what's happening out here? Who is this guy?
But also, Franco, well done.
Yeah, I mean,
you did great.
It's super interesting, and I think that he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm very excited about his future, as long as, you know, the car doesn't hit the wall.
He's back there holding up Checo Perez like a warrior
a
king. I mean, Checo being like, this Colapinto is good. I can't get around him. It's like, no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. Watch me.
Yeah.
It was impressive. You know, I love the new kids. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the energy of the new drivers. I think they're bringing a lot of really fun, exciting, fresh DGAF attitude. Like they are awesome. And come through, guys. Come through.
And we said it last week. It's because they don't have the pressure yet. The pressure of the world has not crushed their soul. They're still living high on.
Their shoulders are still rolled back and tall. They don't have the just weight.
Right. They got that first big boy paycheck, and they had to pay taxes yet. So they're you know, they're still living on a high. They're like, well, this is
and I love that for them.
Same.
I would, if they could bottle up that feeling and inject it into me. Whew.
The relief.
Yeah. I think that's the fountain of youth. I think that's what I'm
1,000%. 1,000%. That's what that means. Yeah. Love it.
Okay. Back to the race.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the race. I mean, in all honesty, Singapore, kind of a bore, you know, until you get to the last couple laps.
It's just hard to pass.
Yeah. Well, in pockets, like it does, like this is why I do like Singapore as a street race, because it does have a wider straightaway, so you do get the opportunity to pass on this track, it being a street race, more than other street races on the circuit. Like Monaco, there's no passing in Monaco. You know, Baku, you can do it, but it's tricky. So it's like, you know, there's space in Singapore, which is rare on the street circuits, but it's also rare that they're in a position to pass.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're like, oh, okay, well, what are we going to get? And I do believe they opened up a fourth DRS zone,
which
also was really cool to see, which again encourages.
Well, I think that was done as a result of some of the other.
Yes.
Like, to make up for the challenges of passing. So like, let's give them a little bit more space.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. So that did make it kind of fun. But what we were watching was Lando finally figuring out, this car has my back.
And that Lando's the captain now.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay. And we also saw team support going behind Lando through and through.
Well, so it's about damn time.
Yes. So hats off to McLaren for finally making a decision.
This is this was such a hard decision. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But just again, I can't wait till the end of the season. And however it ends up, I want just a mashup of all of the clips where we said, hey, guys, you're close. You can make a run at this.
Yeah.
This guy, Max, there's a chance that he might not do it. You got a chance.
You know, and Max showed up this weekend.
No, he did.
He did, which, you know, we got angry Max at the beginning of the race when he was, you know, insecure. Angry Max is a vibe. And it is something that the sport just, you can't replicate. Like, there's no one else that does it like
I don't think he's insecure, Shannon. I just think that's his personality of just like.
Disagree. Because when he is winning by 30 seconds, you don't hear any of this stuff come out. It's when he is unsure of how he's doing in the moment and like unsure of like, is he going to win? Or like unsure of the placement he's going to be in.
Unsure is not insecure though.
It breeds insecurity.
Okay. But having moments of insecurity but I don't think he's generally
insecure. As a person,
insecure.
He's not insecure. Okay, I think he has insecure moments. Yes.
Okay, there we
so
go.
Like
okay,
his insecurity, there. His driving at the time. Yes. So that was fun.
I like fighting Max. Fighting Max. I want a graphic of the little like Notre Dame leprechaun, but with like a Max Verstappen one, because I would buy that merch. And I think that the sport is more fun when Max is agitated.
Well, kind of like Max was agitated that he got a
community service day. I'd be agitated too.
A swear word. And now he's like, I will be holding my own press conferences outside where I cannot be fined.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, Max.
That for me, I was like, I did clap at that. I was like, well done. Well done. Yeah. Max, that's a beautiful way to stick it to him. Way to stick it to the man.
Also, I'm going to keep cursing it. It's fucking stupid. No, I get it for the press conferences. But I think that it's not like he's just going on a, like dropping them left and right. He just, you know.
Sometimes the only word to convey what you really feel is a four-letter one. And that will go on my grave. Like, fuck is the best word in the English language. Let's be honest. I mean, it's so versatile.
Sometimes it is
what you need to say. Okay. So like Max, you're never going to find a complaint from SK on that one. So there you go. I'm in your corner. For
and
that,
I
and
get
that alone, but
that they say that, you know, that's not what they're supposed to be doing in press conferences, but it's sport. It's emotional. I mean, they can't be so sterile.
You can't. And if you are going to get fined by what's the people that police the airwaves?
The FTC.
Thank you. Then you know what? That's your own doing. Then don't put it live.
Give yourself the delay like they do on every other live show.
Exactly. Like if you are that concerned with your fine, then build it into your budget is all I got to tell you. Like, or find a way to delay your broadcast.
I mean, every other live show does that. They have it's like a 2 or 3 second delay so that someone can hit the.
Yeah. And if you were to mic every single player that plays a sport, you're going to hear all of the words.
Well, when they mic up certain players, like for the NFL, they are on a delay so that they can make sure that they
don't. Yeah. So, you know, like you're asking a lot of these drivers to be in the moment, pumped full of adrenaline, thinking at 200 miles an hour, making these life altering decisions. And then you're like, don't swear.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Fuck off. Like, that's just dumb. I hate that.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Justice for Max.
Justice for Max in that capacity. We get to the final lap of this race, and it's looking great for Lando. He's running away with it, 20 seconds ahead, has the fastest lap, and then his Daniel Ricciardo says, not so fast. If I'm going to go out, I'm going out as with a spark.
He's going to make an impact.
I'm going to make it difficult. And you know what? I don't hate it. He puts on those softs and he says, let me run this RB to the max and get this fastest lap.
Well, and honestly, he's more aligned with Max. Like Max and him are,
And him are buddies. And also a big fat fuck you to Zach Brown.
Yeah.
Because Zach, this isn't Daniel's fault. Just so we're clear, this isn't Daniel's fault. If he loses by 1 point, that's not Daniel's fault. That is on Zach Brown for not making an earlier decision about who their racing driver should have been. So Daniel Joseph Ricciardo, let's put some respect on that name. Clap it out for that fastest lap and making it difficult for McLaren to get that world championship Zach has been sniffing for years.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find the exact, but I'm pretty sure I forget what exactly it is, so I'm going to pull it up. But there is a whole thing of like because of the fastest lap. I mean, it's just, it's great. Basically, he's going to make it, he's going to make it tough.
Yeah. It's like he can come in second place to Lando for every race from now on and still win by 1 point.
Yeah.
So
that's the gist of it.
That is, and honestly, that is some iconic fast math in Daniel's little brain to be like, oh, you know what, guys?
Well, I'm sure someone told him that.
Well, I mean, he's got to consent to it.
Yeah, of course. Of course he does. But I don't think he did some fast math in his head while driving I'm saying.
It's motor math. It's different.
How about how Daniel said, if Max wins by a point, I've just guaranteed myself a nice Christmas present.
Yes, you have, Daniel. Yes, you have.
Yeah. So Lando, if Max finishes second in every race, he will still win the championship. But that's still asking a lot.
That is asking a lot.
And that means Lando has to win every other race.
Yeah.
Which is also asking a lot.
This is also asking
a
lot.
I'm not saying that there's not I'm not saying that's not feasible, but Sweet Sweet Charles Leclerc feels like he's due for a third race win.
Well, we've also said he's used all the luck that he's going to get this season. So
take that back. And
you've said it too. You can't be pointing at me when you've said it yourself.
Well, now I've moved on from that. I'm back on the train.
Take it back.
Good things for Charles from all. But also I think George Russell could randomly ask win a race. You know, like there's always a random or Oscar. You don't think Oscar might like.
No, I don't. I think Oscar's winning days are over because there's no way that McLaren's going to be unless Lando is in like eighth place and like has no hope. Then yes, they're going to protect the constructors and they're going to be like, Oscar, keep going, go.
Yeah.
But no, there's no way that they allow Oscar to win a race at this point.
Even if he takes pole, starts out and builds like a 20-second lead, you don't think?
I do not. There will be switch positions. Switch positions. Lando, Oscar, switch positions.
I'm going to say it now. I think Max still wins the championship, and I think he wins it by more than 1 point.
Well, I'm not – before this kerfuffle at McLaren, I would have disagreed with you. But now I'm like, you know,
I just think there's five races left? Six?
I think there's five.
I think there's five. That's – I mean – there's a lot that goes into winning five races in a row.
Yes, especially when you're not consistently winning them week after
week. And it's not like he's won the last five races.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have six.
That's okay. I knew it was five or six. Yeah. So
you're close. I mean, and I'm going to go ahead and say Brazil might be off the table because, you know, that's the one Lewis Hamilton.
Right.
That's his home race. Like,
that's what I'm saying. There's like just other people who are lurking close by enough.
Yeah.
And all you need is one bad race. You need to be stuck behind somebody. You need to have something go wrong with the tires, like the power unit, a whole number of things.
There's a lot. Exactly. And this is what is so beautiful about this sport is that you never flipping know from one lap to the next what is going to happen. So there is a lot of variables in this. I mean, I still would love to see Lando win it, and that is coming from a non-Lando fan. But also, if he doesn't, you know, DR3 is going to have a little justification, and I'm here for that. So I'm fine.
I think it's fully possible that he does, but I think it's more feasible he does not.
The probability of Max winning is higher than that of Lando. Yes. I get you.
I was taking a futures bet right now. I'm still putting my money on Max. And maybe I'll do that when we get off this recording session. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I don't think I'd win very much. It's going to be like $10 to win 14, but
still it's the victory and the win.
I will post that I made the place the bet in my stories.
Okay, good.
In our stories.
We got to see it.
I will put proof.
We got to see it or it doesn't count.
And you know what? I'm going to drop in my little referral link if anybody else wants to get on board with some light sports gambling with me. You probably don't, but.
But if you do, this is the gal to do it with right here.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Yes.
Anyways, back to the race.
Back to the race, yeah. Oh, okay. So Lando wins, doesn't get the fastest lap. Max comes in second. Oscar comes in third.
Double papaya podium.
Zach is so happy. But can we talk about the Parc Fermé of this race? Like when the McLaren is on
like
the TV platform, and then like there's TVs behind it, or the screen's behind it, and it's on a screen. That is the coolest situation I have seen with the race car. Although outside of Mexico, because Mexico comes from the ground and like comes to the top.
The lifts Mexico are pretty dope. Legit.
That is really cool. But this is going to go up there for me because I was like, this is amazing.
Well, it was giving like Crazy Rich, the movie, like Crazy Rich Asians. Yes. Like, I feel like those characters should have just like walked through and given the 1,000%. Trophy.
But also like the cool thing about a night race, and specifically in Singapore, is all the fireworks and the lights happened with it. Like that pageantry is so neat because they try to do that in the day, and fireworks in the day is one of my pet peeves. Like, it's like you're wasting so many resources with this. This is dumb. It's just loud and you can't see it. It's like, why are you doing this?
Well, it's not impactful.
It's not impactful, but at night it is awesome. Yeah. So fun. So fun. So I love the podium celebration. I loved all of that. The cool down room was great for Oscar to be like, so without using swear words, tell us how you felt. You know, when your car clipped the edge and we were all like, does he just not want to win this race? Like,
oh, I know.
Like,
when he clipped
your car
the
out of the wall, Lando. What are you
doing?
And
they kept being like, did he just touch it? He touched it.
He touched it.
Yeah. We are going to box and take a quick break. So we will be right back.
This is Jacob Lane, host of From the Pink Seats podcast, and I invite you to tune in each week to the show as myself, Vincent Lococo, and Matt McGavick dive into the storylines, news, and happenings around the Louisville football program. Nowhere else in the city will you find coverage like you will on From the Pink Seats podcast. From recruiting to coaching moves to stories to breaking news, all of it is covered from top to bottom here on From the Pink Seats podcast. Get involved with the show by following us on Twitter at Pink Seats Pod, and be sure to subscribe and rate and review the podcast anywhere you get your shows from. Go Cards.
This race, look, I'm happy for Lando. Obviously, I wore his shirt. But I was like, oh, there's my Lando shirt. I'll break that back, that baby out. I'm super happy for Lando, but I feel like we could have done more. It's a little, in the words, the iconic words of JoJo, bring her back. It's just too little, too late.
Get out.
Leave. Yeah. Right, that's, you know, it's a different song. That's a different iconic JoJo song, which Get Out, Leave is what they're singing to Daniel McCarter right now.
Boo. Danielle, boo.
Which I think is especially mean ahead of Austin. Feels like insult to injury.
That is an insult to injury because that is his second home race.
Yeah.
That is his American home. And that just feels like Helmut Marko. That feels like it has him written.
It was personal.
It was personal. Because I did a little looking into this.
I did.
Because I wanted to know, why does this make sense? Why cut Daniel with six races to go?
Yeah, I mean, it feels kind of silly.
It is silly because he brings with him $35 million in sponsorship money. Mm-hmm. Liam Lawson doesn't even come close. Does he have sponsors? Yeah, he does. But they're like local. Local sponsors, like somebody's dad at his dentistry. Is sponsoring Liam. And I'm like, what?
Okay.
I was like, this is like.
No way. He has a dentist sponsor.
I don't think it's a dentist, but it okay. is. Okay. It's minimal. It's
no like, way is there like an like orthodontic practice.
Okay. The BG Marketing, a family owned business that specializes in alloy and steel wheels for radial tires. Cumulo 9, a digital communication company that supports Liam's Formula 2 campaigns and Japanese Super Formula program. Tony Quinn Foundation, an organization that supports young Kiwi drivers with living, training, and travel costs. And Sharp Thuup Lawyers and KPMG. So it's not a dentist, it's a lawyer. Provided professional services for Liam. You know that's his dad's golfing buddy. Like, that's not like, I don't know. It just felt like this is, you're not getting anywhere close to the dollar amount that Daniel did. So I don't see why, like, where is RB in the constructors? Let's look at this. Because I am curious, what do you think is going to happen to your points? Okay, you're in sixth place at this point.
Okay, wait, I've got a hot take on this.
Okay.
You're talking about the helmet, Marco, of it all. And we've talked about, you know, I don't think there's a ton of love lost between Daniel Ricciardo and Lando Norris. You know, like I don't think that they were, they didn't really see eye to eye on so much stuff, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's I just saw this headline.
Okay.
Ricciardo's bizarre emotional F1 send-off eclipses Norris win. Do you think that they got rid of him? Like, obviously there's a lot of thinking in front, but they're like, if Lando's going to keep winning, like, let's just really fucking spoil his good times and just make like this Daniel Ricciardo story way more important. This is a lot of foresight, but I'm just saying the whole thing of Daniel leaving, eclipsing Lando's win feels a little bit like,
well,
we stole your thunder.
Yeah, a little bit. It does. It does. And I think,
I'm just saying, like, Helmut is a true puppet master. And he was like, fine, if you guys are going to win, we're still going to fuck with you all.
Yeah, you're going to hate it. You're not going to love this win because people aren't going to remember Lando winning at Singapore.
They're going to remember
Daniel's last race. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that happening for sure. But this is also kind of where I have – okay, so hang on. In the standings, RB has 34 points in the constructors and Haas has 31. So I could see, like, I don't know what the money difference is between coming in sixth and seventh place, but
probably
not $3.5 million it's definitely not $35 million. I mean, that's for sure. But like, I'd like to know what the difference is between that and why, like, the Aston Martin is in fifth place with 86 points.
No, there's
you're
a big
not
gap.
Getting enough point spread between sixth to fifth place in the next six races. Like, I don't care how good Liam Lawson is, that RB isn't that competitive with the rest of these cars that are, you know, it's not better than the Aston Martin. It's not better than Mercedes. It's certainly not better than the Ferrari. So it's like, cut him now.
Yeah.
I love Yuki like the next, you know, so much, but like he's doing well, but he's not coming in top five. Like he's not, you know, like the point spread there is we're not gaining traction.
I think that they're just like, Liam's the future. This isn't working out. We're not bringing you back. We might as well just cut ties and get this kid some more practice in this car ahead of. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, also the tributes to him online, he is not dead.
Dead.
Okay. Like,
oh my God, thank you for saying that because I didn't want to say it and you'd be like, Danielle, you're such a bitch.
No. But,
truly, like he has passed or if he's in a coma. All these videos that are like weepy, sobby, they're like, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Like, he's still with us.
He's still alive and he's fine. He is swimming in a bag of money. He doesn't need to be in Formula One for money. We've established that when he got released from McLaren and had that big $120 million buyout of his contract.
I've always defended. I've said, get your money, DR-free.
Right. Do your thing. Get your vineyard. Get your Enchanté. I mean, he's got a lot of iron. What is it? Sticks in the iron?
Irons in the fire.
That's it. Irons in the fire.
The sticks burn up. The irons
the
burn. Stay hot.
The irons be hot. The sticks be burning.
Maybe the F1 is a stick in the fire because it burns up, but the others are irons.
The other. Okay. Thank you. I was like, that doesn't sound right. It came out. I was like, that's immediately wrong.
Which is on brand.
Very on brand for me. So I was looking at these. I'm like, he's not dead. Like,
no.
For your smile, for you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he still has a pulse. Like, stop it.
Every time I open the app, there is some wildly dramatic, emotional post with like his voiceover or like, if this is it, thank you for this. Yeah. Thank you. Hey friends, he's gonna be okay.
He's gonna be fine. Now I did the one that really got me today.
The interview.
Well, okay, that got me on Sunday. I was like in a way about that. I mean, my little heart was very sad for him on Sunday. But this morning when I opened up Instagram and I do see that sweet little face of his. It's Daniel Ricciardo, but he has removed F1 driver from his Instagram profile. And I'm like,
that's a
that
lot.
Would hurt, you know? So DR3 forever, forever in my heart. But wow, that one was like a shit. This is happening.
He's gone.
I thought there was a moment, you know, I really thought that we had a chance. Like there was something in the contract that would have kept him in, but if you
didn't
go ahead
we almost
and remove
have
that.
It all.
Yes. Yes, we did.
But here's my question. Yes. Do you think he drives? Do you think he like drives another? Does he go to another motorsport? Does he go to IndyCar? I don't think so, but.
I don't know. Honestly, like I'm not. I'm curious. Will somebody offer him a seat for next season?
No.
Or is he going to be like, I'm actually done? Because there was like a small little, and I haven't clicked on it yet, but like.
Some clickbait for you. Some Daniel Ricciardo fan clickbait.
And it does kind of track because when you follow F1, you know, a lot of money is following people.
Yeah.
Again, $35 million in sponsorship for a company like, I don't know, Kick Sauber is attractive.
Yeah.
You
it
know,
is.
And
that's true.
That could be, and you know, a very interesting play if that's what you want to do. Again, and I, you know, this is coming with love. I'm a DR3 girl, especially to a car company that hasn't had high performance cars. But you've got Bottas, you've got Joe, pretty great drivers.
Right.
Not you can't
sucks,
do much
though.
If you do in a car that sucks. So you put Daniel in a car that's not great and let him just drive around the circuit.
Well, personally, if that means that Daniel Ricciardo takes Valtteri Bottas' spot, it's unforgivable for me.
Yeah, no. That would
like fully cement him into the I would stop saying any sort of I would not even be gracious in my you know dislike.
It would light the fire of a thousand furies. Yeah, I understand that.
And I'm not saying that Valtteri is, you know, I mean, I do think Valtteri is a better driver than Daniel Ricciardo, and I'll die on that hill. But I love VB, and he's everything of the sort.
Do you think that they would replace Hülkenberg with Daniel?
No, I think Hülkenberg's a better driver.
The Daniel Ricciardo?
Currently, I'm not saying of all time, of in this moment.
In this moment.
Right now.
In
this moment, I feel like they're both not in great cars, but Hülkenberg is doing more with the car he's in than Daniel Ricciardo is. Or was. Was.
I think the Haas is outperforming. Well, they're right there. I mean, RB has three more points than the Haas, so they're in competitive cars. Okay. I'm just going to hit the driver's standing real quick.
I don't know how much sponsorship Hülkenberg brings either. I mean, there could be a whole, you know, there's a whole European market where these people are just maxing and relaxing, chilling out cool with giant bags of money.
Yeah. I would be very surprised if Hülkenberg comes with more sponsorship money than Daniel Ricciardo.
I think that's the United States fan in you. It's a United States fan.
If it was, then Haas wouldn't have let him go. Haas needs that money. Haas needs a money train.
I mean, I know that. But they want Germans because that's why they have the hook.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
These are all, you know, very, this is sad.
What?
This is super sad. On a grid that has 20 drivers, Valtteri Bottas is in 22nd place in the standings.
No, it's bad. It's very, very bad.
Logan Sargeant's ahead of him, which I don't understand how, unless you have to go down to qualifying, which even still doesn't make sense.
Sprints,
but,
maybe. It was in
But he has like 0 points. Like Valtteri, zero. Logan, zero. Joe, zero. Franco Colapinto has only been in two races, 4 points. Esteban Ocon, 5 points. K-Mag, 6 points. Ollie Bearman. Again, new driver, not even a full season, 7 points.
Well, that car sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. It does suck. I do agree. Like,
I mean, that car sucks.
Honestly, Daniel, don't go. Like, this is just retire from F1, do your thing. I don't know where you want to go from here, but whatever you do, I support you. And you know, just know that SK loves you for a lifetime. And I did probably story this more than I needed to this weekend, but I was, I hadn't done a good plant update in a hot minute on our account. And I did repot Daniel Ricciardo into a much larger pot. And I will, you know what? That guy as a plant form is going places. Because repotted him and he is happy and thriving. And it's only been like 4 days. But honestly, I've never seen him happier.
I mean, I love that. Maybe, you know, he needs a bigger world than F1.
He does. That's what I thought. I'm like, we're going to get you at F1. You're too big for it. You're too big. Get your roots situated someplace else.
Oh, okay.
So
I was trying to look up the Hooks sponsors. But
yeah. Well, we've got 4 weeks between now and our next race. So we can come back with some sponsorship, a deep dive on sponsorship money. And I feel like that would be a very interesting episode.
I also think that it's very valuable for certain companies. Like I think a lot of Haas's sponsors in general are German companies. They want a German person. Like they don't want out there. Like
I understand,
you know, the day mating them. Like, yeah. They want someone who speaks German and talks to the people.
I definitely understand the value of having a German driver if you're a German car company. That, you know, it's not lost on me. I just also understand how money translates into this sport.
But I think that's also a money thing too. And it could be like a higher level money thing.
Maybe.
Like it's not Hulk's personal sponsors. It's the team's general. And because that's why we had – I mean, that's why they had Mick for so long. Cause they're like, well, we're going to, it's not going well, but they want it. They want a German.
That German. Yeah. Well, that's also proof in the pudding of like, you picked a German driver, but it didn't really work out for you. We could have brought you more money with someone else.
Okay. Enough with the Daniel Ricciardo. Just let it go.
Okay. Okay. We're moving on.
Thank you. All right. Before we talk, you know, any more about anything. Who is your driver of the day and your P1?
Okay. I will tell you my driver of the day was not Daniel Ricciardo. Honestly, I was like, he wasn't even in contention throughout the day. They had to throw him a bone. They were like, you're going out. You're getting set to pasture a little too early. Let's give him driver of the day and hopefully it'll spark some joy. It did not. It just made me irritated. I was like, I don't need your petty like sympathy vote for Daniel Ricciardo to be driver of the day when he had a shit drive. We all saw it. I mean, he did get the fastest lap, which was impressive. And, you know, he deserved that. But my driver of the day is going to go to Lando because for the first time in forever, he converted P1 to an actual victory. And I feel like that was, you know, he needs a little clap for that. So that's my driver of the day. And my P1 is Daniel Ricciardo because.
Oh, okay. So you're you're like, I'm not going to give him driver of the day, but don't worry. I'm still going to talk about it.
I am. He will, you know, he will live synonymously in Singapore with Lando's race in Daniel's finish. So.
Well, my driver of the day is the same as Lando for, you know, doing the damn thing.
Yes.
But my P1 goes to Max Verstappen.
Oh, okay.
Because Max Verstappen also did the damn thing. And, you know, like the car kind of isn't as great, but like, he's like, no, I'm still here. Like, don't forget me.
Yes.
Like, I'm still here. I'm Max Verstappen.
Still standing.
Yeah. And for the cursing points, like, I just.
Yeah, that was, you know, iconic.
Dare I say, I'm low-key a Max Verstappen fan.
I can see that. You know.
I align with some of his sensibilities.
Yeah. I'm sorry. the cut is too deep for me to ever go into the Max Verstappen world, but I will appreciate when appreciation is necessary.
Yeah.
Yes.
So big ups to Max for also being like, I'm here still. Do you think I'm not just going to I'm not just going to go P5. Like I'm not going into the sunset. You're not going to forget about me.
No, we could never.
We could never. But I also I think people have, you know, not been putting as much respect on the name lately.
Ew.
And he's said, you know, I'm back. Not I'm back, but like I'm here.
Well, they fixed the floor apparently, and now we're seeing,
which justice for Sergio Perez.
Honestly, and thank you, Toto Wolff, for calling it out like it was and being like, check us out of car shit. And you know what? That aged very well because the car is shit.
I mean, that's a deep cut too. We're going back to Barcelona 2023 when he said there's something wrong with the floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He even specifically said, didn't he specifically said the floor. Said the yeah, floor. Yeah. Yes.
He's so, and they were like, Checo, shh.
They're like, nobody cares, Checo.
Get to the back. Yeah. Helmet said, not today. We're not listening.
Yeah.
Complaint department is not open.
Do you want a couple news and notes?
I would love your news and notes. Yes, please.
Okay. On that same note, Horner claims Red Bull have turned the corner as Verstappen chases F1 title. So basically, you know, the last few weeks we've been getting these doomsday stories out of Red Bull. And obviously these are all like press control, like PR controlled things where they're like, you know, the wheels are falling off, fire down below. It's no good. But now they're like, we're back, baby. The Formula One champions Red Bull hope to pick up the pace over this final six rounds of the season after Max Verstappen emerged stronger than expected from back-to-back straight races in Azerbaijan and Singapore, according to Christian Horner. Verstappen, who, fun fact, will be 27 next week, had his advantage over McLaren's Lando Norris cut from 62 points after the Italian Grand Prix at Monza to a current 52. The season now has a four-week lull before a US-Mexico-Brazil sequence starting in Austin, which 4 weeks is a long time for Red Bull to get their shit together.
Yeah.
We all know that. Quote, I think we've got a vein of development, and I think we've understood some of the issues with the car. I think we're starting to address them, Red Bull's team principal Horner said after Verstappen finished a distant second to Norris in Singapore. We were better in Baku. We were better here. So, and then I'm going to skip ahead. I think the encouraging thing was the car reacted as well as we hoped it would and what our tools were telling us, he said of Singapore. I think the team are starting to get a direction and an understanding of where some of the limitations are and some of the causes of limitation. That opens up development paths and veins that hopefully will be productive. I think what Monza really exposed was perhaps some of the root cause or helped to identify the root cause of the issue. So I'm taking Monza as the low point and we're starting to build off that. You know, your low point is another person's high point. Sweet, sweet Charles Leclerc. But I think 4 weeks for Red Bull, I include this as 4 weeks and they know the problem.
Yeah.
They're going to fix the problem.
They are going to fix the problem.
And that's why I think that Lando's days as world champ are numbered, personally.
Okay. I wonder how many upgrades they have, like, still have available.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Huh. I mean, obviously, we're like in Q3 at this point. Like, we're in the final stages. So I'm curious. Like, I mean, obviously, they're not going to use them all.
No,
I wouldn't. But we'll see.
They'll bring some.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same note. Sorry. So we're going to stay in the Max Verstappen world of it all. Okay. But I'm including this because remember when. I know you'll never forget, but when essentially the F1 was like making Max, they were like, bye-bye Lewis, not bye-bye, but like move over.
Yeah.
We're bringing Max up now. Mm-hmm. He's the guy.
Sure do. Can't forget it.
Never will.
Never forget.
Well, one of the writers for ESPN wrote an article. You can't be yourself. It's a quote. Will Verstappen be pushed out of F1? And I include this just because does this feel like now they're like, Verstappen, you to the side now. We're bringing, it's Lando time now.
Hmm.
Could one curse word really expedite the retirement of one of the greatest talents in F1 history? It seems laughable, which you just did, but Max Verstappen wasn't joking on Sunday night when he continued to rail against his FIA sanction for saying the word fucked during a news conference on Thursday. Sat in his race overalls at a table in Red Bull's hospitality unit, Verstappen was free to say what he really felt on the matter just moments after delivering his second semi-silent protest in the FIA's official post-race news conference. These kind of things definitely decide my future as well. When you can't be yourself or you have to deal with these kinds of silly things, he said when asked whether the whole saga made him tempted to walk away from F1. I think now I'm at the stage of my career that you don't really want to be dealing with all this all the time. It's really tiring. of course, it's great to have success and win races. But, you know, once you have accomplished all that, winning championships and races, you just want to have a good time as well. But if you have to deal with all of these kind of silly things, for me, that is not a way of continuing the sport. That's for sure.
I agree. I mean, you know, there's only, and I get his point. Like, I understand how they are taking what he says and manipulating it to their advantage.
Yeah.
I understand that. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And right or wrong, that's what they do. It's also like, you understand how they play the game.
Well,
so,
like, it's like, when they did like the earrings with Lewis, remember? Yes. Like all the silly, silly nonsense. It yes. feels very similar to that. Cause, and even he says, it is clear, however, that Verstappen feels singled out,
yes.
which was what happened with Lewis,
yes.
over what he calls a quote, very, very silly issue, which also, I mean, this is yes. a different like cursing mm-hmm. and jewelry. They're not the same, but they're both quite silly in the grand scheme. Things.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I don't. I mean, listen. I'm Team Max on this one. I think that they're making a mountain out of a molehill and unnecessarily. And I think that Max is right to do what he's doing. In a regard of like, I appreciate the pettiness he's bringing to it. I yeah. also am like, you also have a job, and your job description says you need to participate in media days. Like,
yeah,
you get fined if you don't. So like, I kind of, in one hand, I'm like, okay, I see how you played the game, Max. I get that. But I'm like, it's also your job. So like, do your job. And you don't have to like every aspect of your job. I don't think that exists, you know, for
no.
anybody, but like, you don't like it, but it's still the rules. It's still what you have to abide by.
Yeah. But like Lewis spoke out about the jewelry thing. Was
1,000%.
Like,
and he's like, this is dumb. He's like, but okay, I will do what I got. I mean, he's like, again, he took out the ones we can see. You know, that's what he said. So I'm like, okay.
Lewis.
I know.
Okay. We talked about this at the very beginning of the episode, but Albon, you turn on Colapinto dive bomb criticism. So we know on the radio, Alex was like, WTF, what is yeah. this? And he, you know, the team got in his ear post-race and said, we're going to have to back that one up a little bit.
Yeah.
Alex Albon has backtracked on his angry radio message at the start of Formula One Singapore Grand Prix after teammate Franco Colapinto's first corner antics. Albon spoke out on the team radio after the opening turn, as he felt that his teammate had made a lunge down the inside of everyone too late into the braking zone. Franco just dive-bombed, he said an exasperated Albon at the time. What's he doing? But after viewing footage of the opening corner where a late-breaking maneuver got Colapinto past Yuki Tsunoda, Carlos Sainz, and Albon to move up three places from his grid slot, a fresh perspective on how things played out was offered.
Yeah.
And Albon, he goes, I don't know how it looked on the outside, but I think it was more just no one could turn into the corner, Alex explained. So everyone concertiated and basically had to go straight at turn one. I was on the outside and paid the price by having to take the runoff. I mean, nothing really to criticize. It was just a bit of unfortunate. It was just a bit unfortunate. I was the one on the other side of the corner.
Yeah. Spoken like the PR team got a hold of him and said, make mm-hmm. it right. Make mm-hmm. it right. But honestly, Colapinto, that was a badass dive bomb. I mean, you took over three people and you were
yeah,
like,
no, it was good.
It was great.
Yeah.
Racing wise, yeah, I have no notes. It's great.
No. And then a little update on, you know, our American.
Yes.
Our bygone American. Sargeant handed career lifeline after F1 dismissal. Logan Sargeant's F1 career appears over after 37 Grand Prix for Williams, but his next motorsport move may be on the horizon with an IndyCar test lined up for November. So I don't really need to get into it, but it does. It says the American has returned stateside and has been handed an IndyCar test with Meyer Shank Racing in November at the Thermal Club in California.
That's cool. So, well, good for him. So, I just want to see him do great things. Like, Logan, F1 wasn't for him right now.
No.
It will be in the future. I don't know. But, you know,
we want the best.
We do want the best. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think IndyCar may be the better motorsport for him.
I agree. I do. Although I don't watch enough IndyCar, so maybe I should start No, taking a peek and finding out.
It feels like he would probably do well.
Yeah.
There.
I hope so.
I don't know. Hopefully. Yeah. T's and P's for you, Logan.
Yeah. We got you, kiddo. We got you.
And this I'm just including because we love to hate on Nico Rosberg.
Any chance we get. What and do we got?
He just is, you know, being Nico. Lando Norris's mistakes on way to Singapore GP win leave Nico Rosberg, quote, baffled on Sky Sports F1 podcast. Nico Rosberg says he was baffled by the mistakes Lando Norris made while holding a big lead on his way to winning the Singapore Grand Prix. Norris produced stunning pace on his first stint to open up a 25-second gap over title rival Max Verstappen, but the McLaren driver clipped one of the street circuit's barriers just before making his first stop and was fortunate to avoid major damage. Speaking on the latest episode of Sky Sports F1 podcast, 2016 world champion Rosberg, which he will hold tight to.
So tight. Said, it's like when a doctor puts doctor in front of their name every single time. It'll be like 2016.
Yeah. Or when they correct everyone, like yes. They're at like their kids thing and they're like, oh, okay. You know, Mr. Smith, they're like, doctor.
Yeah.
It kind of baffled me a little bit what was going on there because he hit the wall twice. Both were like really severe, almost race-ending moments where he was quite lucky not to be DNF. He went miles off the track in a hairpin outbreaking, but really not a small outbreaking, like a massive outbreaking. And the other time he hit the same wall that George Russell hit last year where he went crashing out on the last lap of the race. And what you maybe don't remember is he went off the track again when he was passing a back marker, which was a Williams. So there's three moments here, and that's so strange. You know what, Nico? Worry about your – what did Lando do to you that has you so in a twist? Because remember he came for him when he was like – yeah. He was always been on. He was at him when he was about to partying. Then he went on Max about the sim. Like, did he still win? Did he hurt you? Leave him alone.
Also, when did he go miles off the track? I'm pretty sure it's not even a mile wide. So like, where is he gaining this this ground?
Yeah. And then he said, and then to add, you know, I've said insult injury a bunch here, but I can't remember Max or Lewis making those mistakes.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, not he only didn't say that. Sorry, this here's the full quote. Rosberg added, quote, I can't remember myself.
Oh, there we go. That checks.
Or a Max Verstappen or Lewis when leading so comfortably with 30 seconds, making three major mistakes like that. That was a bit strange. He also did my least favorite thing of all time when people put like a qualifier in front of someone who's just one person, like a Max Verstappen. No, there's only one Max Verstappen.
Right.
You know, like when people go the Michael Jordans and the Magic Johnsons and the LeBron Jameses. No, there's just one of each.
There's
of
just
those.
One. Yeah.
So points off for Nico for that.
Wow, Nico. Does he just need a statue? Do you think if we just gave him a statue, he would quiet down and just be like, oh, okay, thank you.
Probably.
Put it in Ibiza next to his wife's ice cream shop and I think he'd be fine.
Yeah. Holding the trophy and an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Oh, Nico. Oh, anyways. So 4 week gap.
Yes. 4 weeks.
Four weeks.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do?
Well, I don't know, Danielle. 4 weeks is a long time.
What do you think Daniel Ricciardo is gonna do? You know he's gonna make an announcement on something before Austin because that's his, you know, time to shine. Do you think he joins the ESPN broadcast crew? I do, calling it here.
Well, I'm sure he will not be idle for long.
No.
That is a given. He is too much in the face of this brand for the brand to want him to walk away.
Is he going to go on the road with Josh Allen, his bestie, just hit all the Bills games?
Maybe. He's got time. Mm-hmm. He's got the time now. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think he will get into broadcasting. I just don't know that he's going to want to do it this season.
I think he is involved somewhat in the broadcast for Austin GP.
I mean,
it's just too on brand.
It would be weird to not have him there. That's for sure. But I think for him too, like I think it was different when he got let go at McLaren because it was like, well, I'm not done. Like,
yeah.
I think it was like prospects always like in the pot. Like I think the prospects here are
There's too many, like really talented young drivers.
Up and comers. Yes. Mm-hmm. That are, and I think Daniel knows that too. And I think that's why we saw so much emotion out of him, like when he was in that interview. But I do think that, like, knowing that that is his favorite place, I think it would be really hard to go so fresh and be like, I'm okay. You know, but
well,
I mean, if there's
weeks.
One person that can, it's Daniel Ricciardo. Like, he'll, you know, he'll.
And he's a marketing machine, and you know, he loves a camera.
I know.
I'm calling it.
Okay. Well, yeah. I hope that he is, but I respect him if he does.
If it was next week, I'd say no. It's in four weeks.
It's in 4 weeks.
He has time to cry, get his feelings out, talk to a couple people, and really work through some stuff. And then, you know.
Yeah. Count that money again and be fine.
Yeah. Money will really do a lot of things to your emotions too. I think it could really buoy them.
Yeah. You know, creates a sense of emotional stability.
And
like, I'm okay.
Yeah. And just stability in general.
Just in general. Stability is nice.
Yeah. You know what would be nice for us? Are you?
Oh, sorry. I just remembered. Yes. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to, I posted this on our story last week about the teacher who I'm assuming it's elementary school teacher who has like a full on board in her room where she and the class go over who's in the constructors championship and who's in the driver's standings and each person. And as she's going through last week's race, she says, and our sweet Charles Leclerc. And I was like, sweet Charles, does she in fact listen to the pod? Like, what? And so I posted this on our stories and quite a few people came in, and the teacher herself, Miss Sarah, came in. She's like, yes, it's me. I am her. And I was like, yes. So Sarah, amazing. She's been a pit crew from the beginning. I'm like, this is amazing.
That is such exciting news. I missed that in the DMs because I was, you know, going to be hunting. That is sweet, sweet, delightful news. And Miss Sarah, you are a queen.
You are a queen. And if you are listening to this, send us a DM. We will send you a sweatshirt. We
and
will
your
send
size.
You some
yeah.
And we will send stickers for your class. We have these little like flag
stickers. It'd be great for notebooks and stuff.
Perfect for your class. So hit us up. Let us know. We will send you a goodie bag full of push
sweet,
goodies.
Sweet, sweet merchandise.
Sweet, sweet merch for our favorite teacher.
That is so great. There's also a teacher that does that for Dolphins games who I follow, who I love too.
So fun.
Yeah.
Look at your world. It's just colliding, Daniel.
I know. I saw it. I would love to have had a teacher that was as cool as Miss Sarah. So shout out to Miss Sarah.
That's amazing.
God, that's so cool.
That is amazing. Yeah. I love it. Love it so much.
Okay. Well, that's great news. And I love that she's getting so much shine for that because it's awesome.
Yes.
You know what also would be awesome? You know, Miss Sarah's getting love on social. We would love some love on social too. So please follow us at F1 Push Push on Instagram and TikTok. Also, if you want to watch us now, you can, thanks to our partners that we're part of the State of Louisville Network. And you can watch all of our episodes when they come out weekly on YouTube at youtube.com/stateoflouisville. Like, comment, subscribe, do all the things there. You can also leave us some questions there if you want. And we can, you know, answer those. Maybe we've got 4 weeks. So
we've got 4 weeks. Yes. We should definitely hit up the question and answer portion. Be like, what do you want to know?
There's also an ability to call in. So maybe we can like figure that out with some voice
hotline?
Messages. Because we have that through. Anyways, we'll figure that out on our end. But make sure that you're connected to us there. And if you like what you're hearing, if you're enjoying the pod, it would make me happier than Daniel Ricciardo no longer being on the grid if you would rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to them. And until next time.
Daniel, I hope you step in a pile of bubble gum today and it just stays with you all day, asshole.
And until next time. For more great Louisville sports content and podcasts, follow the State of Louisville on all social media platforms or visit stateoflouisville.com.